May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, I got to be with you in voice, but not in person. And about 10 minutes ago, I was at St. John's Anglican in Squamish via Zoom, but not in person. So I'm grateful to be here in person, and I finally get the chance to say a very belated Merry Christmas. And I was very grateful to get glimpses of Vancouver's wintry Christmas as I arrived home on the very wintry evening of Epiphany Sunday. And now we are in the second week after Epiphany. It is a season of glimpses of wonder and joy. The gospel reading tells us that Jesus is attending a wedding that his mother was also invited to. And the hosts are out of wine. So Mary, Jesus's mother, tells Jesus to do something to fix it. This doesn't at first seem like that big of a deal. I mean, has there been a time in your life somewhere and something was not going well and you heard a firmly whispered, go help them? And maybe it was even from your mother. Or maybe that is just something my mother still does. The first difference, however, comes in Jesus' response. Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. Well, at first I'm thinking maybe I should try that. But interestingly, Mary's response is not to Jesus, but to the servants. Do whatever he tells you. So it seems that she basically ignores Jesus' response, something I'm also quite familiar with, then bosses both Jesus and the servants into action. Now, today is supposed to be about glimpses and not about the bossiness of mothers, but it does point to something that really is a glimpse into the heart of Epiphany. Mary believed with all her heart that Jesus had the capacity to do something about this out of wine issue, that she offered his gift to those in need. She saw what others couldn't and made use of what he seemed to prefer not to give. And then Jesus himself did do something, not just because he was asked to, but because he knew only in him was the power for something to be done. And so we move further into the story and what happens next. There were 6 stone water jars, 20 to 30 gallon big stone water jars. That might seem like nothing special, as I'm sure there were stone jars all over the place, with and for a variety of uses. So ordinary, yes, but these weren't just any stone jars. No, these were the jars for the rite of purification, and so they would have been without blemish or stain. So again, ordinary, yes, but for the use of something extraordinary, something holy. And Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. The water poured into these jugs would have remained in its cleanest state and filled into the jugs up to the brim. He then said to them, now draw some out and take it to the chief steward. So they took it. The term steward is really like the director of the feast, charged with the responsibility of overseeing it. Jesus still followed wedding protocol by passing his offering through the wedding director first, as it was the director who would have needed to vet any offerings before it was served. The gospel reading continues with the steward tasted the water that had become wine. Now, this statement seems somewhat anticlimactic. We didn't need to know that before he took his first sip. I would have loved to see his reaction, expecting water, but tasting wine. Or more so, apparently expecting cheap wine, than tasting the good, expensive stuff. Whatever his initial reaction, it was a big enough deal to bring the bridegroom into the conversation. "Everyone serves the good wine first," he said, "and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." The steward thought they had run out of wine and did not know where the wine had come from. So having wine would have first been the first surprise. But the fact that it was good wine, apparently really good wine, was the even bigger surprise. He didn't even ask where it had come from, though the servants knew. He was most surprised about the fact that it wasn't the cheap wine, the kind that everyone else seems to serve once the guests have gotten a little tipsy. Good wine first, cheap wine later. Did it matter who was to receive that first taste of the water, now wine? I think it does, because there needed to be someone to taste the water who would have known it now to be the good wine. Had one of the tipsy guests tasted it, they might not have noticed at all. To the steward and the groom and the guests, it might have just been good wine served later in the party. The steward definitely complimented the wine, but didn't really seem bothered by where it had come from. The servants knew who had drawn the water, but that piece of information is bracketed off like an extra. I think it actually is a really important part of the story, although Jesus didn't seem at all concerned about the fact that only a few would have known what he had done. Or more to the fact that he did but hadn't really wanted to do at all. He knew that once people saw what he could do, everything would be changed. We know the disciples saw and believed, and many of the servants did too. What a glimpse of the miraculous that would have been. And although this was the first of Jesus's miraculous signs, it sure wasn't his last. Not at Cana in Galilee, not in Vancouver, and not here at St. Paul's. Through the Holy Spirit, God's miraculous glimpses of glory are still revealed. In the strangest of places, and often at the strangest of times, and even sometimes by the strangest of people. We all have gifts, just as it was written in our reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, we may not have the gift of turning water into wine, but that's where God steps in to the act. Our gifts might not be unique in itself, but they will be needed in a very unique way. Think about the offering of even just a cup of cold water. For the many, it might just be water, but for the one who is truly in need of refreshment, cold water can taste like the finest of wine. And paradoxically, our gifts might be very unique, but they may be needed in very common ways. Everyone benefited from Jesus's miracle. They all got a taste of the very good wine. My guess is that even the servants got to try it when the last of the wedding guests had gone. And so I wonder if it's the offering itself or the vessel from which it is poured. And does it make a difference into which the vessel, the gift, is received? I don't think it was a coincidence that Jesus used the purification jugs for his miraculous act. We now are these vessels that might reveal God's glory in God's miraculous ways. We are now the vessels that bring Christ's gifts to the world. We ourselves get filled by the water of life and then are called to pour out for others. Each of us have been given gifts, but it is when they are poured out that Christ does the work of turning water into wine. We, the vessels, have experienced much in this life. The vessels may be a little dusty, may have a bit of that much-used grunge. There are probably at least one or two little dings or dents as we have been put through life's ringer. But our first reading excites me and reminds us that even when these vessels of ours feel forsaken, feel desolate, feel weary or worn or sad, God sees things very differently. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You are God's delight, my friends at St. Paul's. And so I pray that as we enter deeper into the season of Epiphany, we will allow God's life-giving water to be filled in us so that God's very good wine can be poured out of us and into the hearts and minds of those who thirst. I pray that there will be those like Jesus's bossy mother who reminds us and all that we and they have the needed gifts to offer and God's power inside them and us to give. And may our eyes fix upon the glimpses of joy and wonder that Christ's child ever reveals. Amen.